next Sunday when we are in the book of Luke. You may remember this when we started the book of Luke several months ago. I skipped over chapter 2, so we'll kind of go back and pick up the Christmas story next Sunday morning. And today we're in chapter 10, beginning at verse 18, and we're looking at some needful things. We read earlier where Jesus was there in the home of Martha, and Martha and Mary were there, and Jesus made the statement, "This thing is needful that Mary has done." And in this passage, we're going to see four needful things. We're going to see the need for serving, the need for studying, the need for supplications, praying, and the need for the Spirit there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who meets all of our needs. And Lord, we have a need for salvation, and you sent your Son many years ago to come to earth, to go through Bethlehem on his way to Calvary. And we thank you that you have met our spiritual need for forgiveness of sins. And Father, we thank you for your daily blessings and how you meet our needs each day. Help us to give you the honor and glory that is due you. Speak to our hearts now. Through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at these four needful things, we see, first of all, the need for serving. And here's Martha in verse 38. And 39, it says that she was cumbered about with much serving. And so here is one who is serving. And serving is an important thing. Appalachian Bible College in West Virginia, their slogan is, "Because life is for service." And that's what God wants all of us to do. We serve in many different ways. And as we do, we need to do so without distractions. And it says here that she was cumbered there. And here she was being distracted there with all the cares and responsibilities that we have in life. It's easy for us sometimes to get distracted from doing the service that God wants us to do. And so here she is busy serving. Someone said once, and I don't know who originated the quote, but they said, "Don't get so caught up in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work." And so here was Martha, and she was very busy serving. And Mary, on the other hand, was remembering the Lord of the work. And so Jesus addresses that. And so here is Martha getting distracted. You ever done that? You know, you're going to do something, and maybe you leave the bedroom, you go into the kitchen, and you see something else you need to do, and then you do that, and you say, "Well, why did I come in here for the first place?" You know, and we get distracted sometimes, and kids are good at getting distracted as well. And so we have a term in education, it is to stay on task. And oftentimes we have to have that focus there to be able to stay on task and to concentrate and do what we need to do. Well, Martha, in verse 40, it says she was cumbered about much serving, and she came to Jesus. She said, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me alone?" And so not only do we need to serve the Lord without being distracted, but we also need to serve the Lord without being dependent. Not without being dependent upon the Lord. We're always dependent upon Him. But Martha's service was kind of dependent upon Mary. And so as she's speaking to Jesus, she wasn't saying to Him, "This work is too much." It wasn't the amount of work or the difficulty of the work that was bothering her. It was the fact that she was working and Mary wasn't. And so if we're not careful in our service for the Lord, we can become dependent on doing what we need to do, whether other people are doing it or not. And we need to do the service that God has called us to do, regardless of what other people might be doing. Sometimes in school, our students will use that, as an excuse. "Well, you know, he's not, you know, doing his work, or he's not passing, you know, or, you know, he didn't do his project. Why do I have to do mine?" And they use that for excuses. And children often make excuses, but we as adults shouldn't be making excuses about our service for the Lord there. And if we start watching others, as Martha was, we can too become cumbered with the service God has us to do. So as we're serving the Lord, Let's don't look at others, what they may or may not be doing, but our service needs to be done without being distracted and without being dependent upon what others are doing, because this is the way. Walk ye in it. We need to be doing what is right, regardless of what other people are doing there. Well, Mary was different here, and she was there sitting at the feet of Jesus, and we see the need for studying, as it says here in verse 42. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And here she is. She's in verse 39. It says, she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And so here she is. She's listening to what Jesus has to say. James 1:19 tells us that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And Mary was doing that. She was being swift to hear. She was sitting there and she was hearing his word. She was paying attention. I don't know, my mom kept everything. I'm sure if I go around her house and start digging up report cards whenever I was in first and second grade, I'm sure that they're somewhere. And I'm sure on one of those report cards, it's going to say, needs to pay attention. Because I had this problem with concentration on what the teacher was saying. I was concentrating, but it was just on daydreaming and, you know, about baseball or something else, I'm sure, there. And so we have to hear what Jesus is saying there. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word study there in this verse has to do with being diligent. And so we need to be diligent, which requires focus and concentration and hearing God's word. Because if we're going to serve properly without distractions and without depending on others, we need to know what God says to us on how we are to serve. And so we do that with concentration. But look at verse 42. It says, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that. And so this idea of studying is a choice that we make. We need to set aside time daily where we will choose to study God's word, that we will choose to sit at the feet of Jesus in the word of God. We're not going to do it literally, of course, like Mary did, but he speaks to us through his word. Just as much as he spoke to Mary there at Martha's house, he speaks to us through his word. And we need to hear what he has to say. We need to focus on that. We need not to be distracted about other things around us, but to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and study what he has to say to us. There's a song that came to my mind this morning when I was going over this. It didn't come to my mind all this week whenever I was preparing it, but when I was growing up in church, we sang a song called Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. And I looked in our hymn book, and it wasn't there, and I looked in the living hymns that we had before we got this one 10 or 12 years ago, and it wasn't in that one either. And so there are three stanzas to the song, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. And it says, sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Stanza two, sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray, while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. And stanza three, bless me, O my Savior, bless me as I sit low at thy feet. O look down in love upon me, let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus, make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. And so here is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that's what the Lord calls us to do, to study to know Him better. Not just know about Him, but as we study the Word, we know more of who God is. As Mary was listening to Jesus and sitting there at His feet, and He wants us to come and do the same thing. Well, the need for supplications. Right after this happens, the disciples come, and obviously John the Baptist had been teaching his disciples how to pray. And so they come to Jesus, and they said, "Will you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples? And we need to know how to pray." And God gives us some instructions on how to pray. And right after this, as we look at the need for supplications, Jesus gives three examples to help us know how to pray. He gives the example of the Lord's Prayer, then He gives the example of a friend in need, and then He gives the example of a father. So let's look at those three needs. First of all, the Lord's Prayer. There are seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, it was not so much that this is a prayer that we are to repeat, though it's certainly okay to repeat it because it's Scripture there, but there are guidelines that help us understand how we should pray, because that's what they ask. They didn't ask that they would teach us what to pray, but how to pray. And so as we look at this Lord's Prayer, as it's referred to normally here, we see the first three petitions have to do with the person of God. The first one is about His character. Jesus said in verse 2, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name.'" And so we think about His character when it says hallowed or holy is His name. And this is given first. When the Lord teaches us how to pray, the very first thing, the most important thing we need to know about praying is the importance of His name. Now later He's going to get to our needs, our daily bread and those things, but more important than our needs is the holiness and character of God there. There are many names given to God in the Bible. The name Jehovah represents the character of God. And if the numbers are correct, the name Jehovah appears in the Old Testament 6,283 times. And it refers to His character. There are many other names given to God in the Scriptures, but the other names have more of a reference to His work, what He does. But Jehovah has to do with His character and His name there. But when Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray, He says, pray like this, "Our Father." And so this is the name that is brings us nearest to Him by calling Him our Father there. And what a wonderful thing that we can call on God as our Father. Who He is and all He does, that relationship that He has with us. Well, the second petition that He tells the disciples has to do with His kingdom. He says, pray Thy kingdom come. And the reason they were to pray for it to come, because the kingdom wasn't already there. The king was there, but He wasn't there as king. He was there as a humble servant. But He's coming back as king. And whenever He comes back, He's going to set up a kingdom on earth. We call it the millennial kingdom because it's for 1,000 years. And He's going to set up that kingdom. And the central focus of a kingdom is the king. And since He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, He certainly should be central in our lives. So when we pray, we think first of all about who God is, His character. Secondly, we think about His kingdom that is coming. And the third aspect of the person of God, He says, pray also Thy will be done. And so remember, Mary was sitting there listening, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing the things that He had to say there. And we need to listen to His will. There are several things in the Bible He tells us specifically it's His will that we ought to pray without ceasing, that we ought to be sanctified, and other things we need to pray according to His will. That's the way Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but if not, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." And oftentimes, if someone, not all the times, but sometimes if a person is hearing impaired, sometimes they will usually speak louder because they don't hear as well. Whenever we start doing that on a spiritual basis, when we start speaking more and louder than listening, as Mary was, because Jesus said she has chosen that good part and it's not going to be taken away from her. And we can't pray aright if we're not listening aright. So whenever we go to God and study, as we saw earlier, it involves both studying God's word and praying and listening to God. We need to hear what he says in the scriptures so that we can know better how to pray after we've heard what he has to say. Well, there are seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer. The first three have to do with the person of God, but the last four have to do with the people of God. And as Jesus continues to teach the disciples how to pray, the first one he says concerning their needs is, give us this day our daily bread. When we hear the word bread in America, we think of, you know, like a loaf of bread, pizza and hamburger buns and those kinds of things. But bread, as it was used in the New Testament, is just a broad term for food. And so here he's saying, give us one day at a time the food we need. We live one day at a time, and God meets our needs one day at a time. So Jesus said, as you're praying for your needs one day at a time, God will provide your daily needs. Then the second part of this second section is forgive us our sins. Have you ever thought of the connection between the first and second petitions that concern the people of God? Think about the forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus came, isn't it? He came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's what that first Christmas is all about. Jesus coming to earth to go to the cross. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just as we pray daily for food, we as Christians, we need to pray daily for forgiveness, that God would forgive us each day. When you look at the connection to these two, just as bread is to the body, or food is to the body, so is forgiveness to the soul. Just as we need food daily to sustain us, where are we without the forgiveness of God to our soul? We are lost without his forgiveness. And so he says, pray to forgive us our sins. Then he says, and pray, lead us not into temptation there. That is an enticement to do wrong. This phrase is really a military meaning. It means to experience battle. And whenever we go into spiritual battle, isn't temptation a battle? Do you battle that? Do you battle, well, let's use an example, maybe one that's not applicable to you. We use the term road rage. If somebody cuts you off, are you ready to lay on the horn? You know, you fight that temptation. Or if somebody is too close to you and you see them in the rearview mirror, do you have that temptation to maybe touch the brake and make that light come on? Or, you know, those kinds of temptations. I hope I haven't given you any ideas. You probably already thought of these things. Anyway, we have these temptations that come to our minds there, but there's no victory unless you have a battle. And so we have these battles. And so we pray, Lord, don't lead us into temptation, but Lord, give us victory over those temptations. 1 Corinthians says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That's why I know you've thought those same things about driving as I have, because these things are common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But he with the temptation will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And so he says, pray, lead us not into temptation. God, give me victory today. We pray daily for our bread. We pray daily for forgiveness. We pray daily for victory over temptation. And then Jesus, as he is answering the request of the disciples to teach them how to pray, he said to pray, deliver us from evil, or even the evil one, because this is a word that refers to Satan. And we know that we are not strong enough to deliver ourselves from Satan. The Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. not only are we not only strong enough to deliver ourselves from Satan, we're not able to deliver ourselves from our own evil hearts, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We need God to deliver us from our own evil thoughts, from the temptations that come because of the flesh, as James says, that war within us there. So we can't blame it all on the evil one, because our hearts are evil. But God gives us victory over that, and we pray daily that He would deliver us from evil. And you know what helps? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. That one good thing that Mary had chosen, when we do that daily and we listen carefully to what He says, and then we pray to Him, then He'll not lead us into temptation. God will never lead us into evil. He will not entice us to do evil. Satan certainly will, but God will give us the victory over that. And so the example of the Lord's Prayer is the first example that Jesus gives about how to pray. And then He talks about a friend in need, beginning in verse 5. Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? And you say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey. He has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within will answer, 'Trouble me not. The door is shut. My children are in bed. I can't rise and give you.'" And he's like, "Don't you know it's midnight? Go home. I'll give you something tomorrow." And Jesus said to him in verse 8, "I say to you, though he will not rise to give him, because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity." That means the man just keeps knocking. You know, then he finally realizes, "I might as well give it to him, because I'm not going to sleep until I do." And so Jesus said in verse 9, "I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." So Jesus gives this example of the Lord's Prayer and says, this is how you need to pray. Pray, first of all, about God and His character, His name and His kingdom, His holiness and His will. And after you have given God in prayer the glory that He deserves, then ask for your needs. And if you're not getting them, He says, keep on knocking there. And so you've seen the acrostic, no doubt, ask, seek, and knock. That's what He says in verse 9. And so we ask, we seek, and we knock, and together we have asked. Jesus says, ask, ask. In James, He says, you have not because you ask not there. And so we need to keep on asking, and we don't bother God when we keep on asking. In verse 8, it uses that word importunity. It says, because of His importunity, He will rise and give him as many as he needs. And the idea of that word means to come without shame. Come as a beggar. Whenever we go to God and we have a need, here was a man, he didn't have any bread, and he had a friend to come, and he needed something, and he goes as a beggar, realizing that I can't provide, but here's someone who can, and I'm going to keep asking, until he answers. And so whenever you pray and you ask God for something and He doesn't answer, and you pray again and again and again and again, don't stop, because you might just be one day or 1 hour from God answering that prayer. And because of the importunity, pray without shame. God delights for us to come and beg for Him and to meet our needs there. And so we seek as well. Whenever you're seeking for something, you don't just seek one time and quit. You don't just seek in one place. Whenever you are looking for something, you seek until you find it. And you always find it in the last place you look, don't you? And we know the reason, because when you find it, you quit looking. And so God says, just keep praying. And when you have it, God will show Himself strong on your behalf. And then He says, knock. Keep knocking until someone comes. Keep praying and praying and praying. And God, remember, we also saw earlier in the Lord's Prayer that we pray according to His will. So we keep asking and asking and asking, And God, your will be done. But I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep asking for the same thing. And I want your will to be done. And you answer it according to what brings you the most honor. Well, then he gives a third example here concerning prayer. That is the example of a father in verse 10, because that's how he taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. He says, if a son will ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And so a father may withhold food from the child for a little while. A loving father is obviously not going to do it for long. But if he's trying to teach him a lesson, if he hasn't finished doing the chore that he said, he might say, you can eat after you finish this job. But he's not going to say, no, I'm not going to give you food. You eat these rocks instead. Well, a father that is loving is not going to do that. Jesus goes on with the example, and he says, and if his son asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Is a father going to give him something that's going to hurt him? And the answer is no. God will never give us anything that will hurt us. So whenever we ask and seek and knock and knock and knock and we don't get what we are desiring, God knows what is going to hurt us. And the things that he may be withholding from us that we're asking for, he knows that that's not what we need. And he knows what we need more than we know what we need. And we can keep on asking and God doesn't mind. We can keep asking and asking and asking. We can ask him as our father. We can ask him as a friend, because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then he says in this same passage, if the son asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And that's the same idea as the serpent. He's not going to give us anything that will harm us there. And God gives us good things richly to enjoy, and he adds no sorrow with it. God answers our prayer as a loving father and as a friend who cares for us. Then we come to the fourth need. We've seen the need for serving and the need for studying, the need for supplications and how to pray. And then we see in the last verse in this passage, Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, and we are, we pray for victory over our own evil thoughts and deeds. He says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we have a need for the Spirit of God. We have a need for the Spirit of God who enables us to serve. If we're going to do like Martha and serve the Lord, we can serve the Lord without being distracted and without being dependent on what others are doing, because the Holy Spirit will enable us to do that. He will enable us to comfort others. The Bible says the same comfort that we have received, the Holy Spirit will use that comfort to comfort other people who are in need there. Not only does he enable us to serve like Martha, he enables us to study like Mary. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into truth. And as we sit at the feet of Jesus and we're saying, God, show yourself to me and show me how I can serve you more faithfully, he will guide us into the truth. Having knowledge of God is not the same thing as having knowledge about God. And the way we get knowledge of God is to spend time with him like Mary did. That's why Jesus says she has chosen that good thing. She's chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus. She's chosen to concentrate and listen and learn so that she can be more effective in her service. And then not only does he enable us to serve in the study, he enables us with our supplications. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he helps our infirmities. For we not know what we should pray as we ought. Or we might ask and seek and knock, but we don't really know how to pray like we should. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so in our minds, we can't figure out, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to ask. I don't know how to articulate to you what I want. The Holy Spirit knows that, and he communicates that to God. So he helps us to serve, he helps us to study, he helps us to pray, and we have a need for service. We have a need for studying. We have a need for praying or supplications, and we certainly have a need for the Holy Spirit. And we see here that Mary has chosen the needful thing there. She's chosen that which is needful, verse 42. Have you? Have you chosen that thing that is needful, a time to sit at the feet of Jesus? This is a song that I shared with you earlier. I asked Nathan and Kelly to have that as far as our invitation today, and the words will be on the screen, and we're going to sing all three stanzas of this verse, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And may the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, speak to your heart as we sing this hymn of invitation.